Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
A little bit cold, as we said. The heating in Potts Towers has, I don't know, it broke last night. And we pay for these people to sort of come and provide 24-hour-a-day service, and they couldn't come till Wednesday, which didn't really help me out very much. So it's all been somewhat of a cold, refreshing night, I like to think of it as.
You should give Charlie Mullins a call.
Pimlico Plumbers. Let's send someone over.
They're not just any old plumbers, they're Pimlico Plumbers.
They are nice plumbers, actually. They are good. All the number plates relate to their work, don't they?
I didn't know that.
You see them driving around, it's all of like WC Lou and all this sort of stuff.
WC Lou.
Well, you know, they're all plays on that basic theme.
Oh, I thought he was the Conservative MP for North Somerset. But, right, markets, mixed on Wall Street yesterday. Elsewhere, sort of Europe was down, and investors are sort of a bit concerned over possible roadblocks to this proposed $1.9 trillion stimulus package.
Yeah, I think that sums it up quite nicely. European shares dropped to a three-week low yesterday, and concerns over COVID restrictions offsetting some optimism around government stimulus and the impact it's going to have in terms of corporate earnings. Stock 600 slid 0.8%. Cyclicals under pressure. Banks, car makers, travel and leisure the biggest losers. Perhaps no surprise. Personal care, drugs and grocery stores outperforming. On Wall Street, the S&P 500 is up 0.4%. Although, say, sentiment did take a downturn after Senate Democrats said it would take at least a month to try and pass a stimulus bill. And US health officials expressed concerns around the current vaccination rate. I think markets looking for how long it will take to achieve the herd immunity, and they are rewarding those who are moving faster towards that. For example, if you look at the stock markets in Israel and Dubai, they've been outperforming broader indexes on hopes that they will achieve that rate sooner. I think Israel were now at 30% in terms of the population that's been vaccinated. The UAE, I think, is around 20%. So significant differences starting to shine through, investors perhaps rewarding that. Overnight, People's Bank of China reduced some liquidity and warned about bubbles. That's led to weakness in Chinese equity markets overnight, down around about 2%. Opening calls on the European bourses still remain steady, actually, currently calling FTSE up 8 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 11 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 1 point.
See, Crystal Palace are playing West Ham last night. Tonight. Do you think the Crystal Palace manager has warned his team about bubbles?
Forever blowing. Actually, Henry's, I think there's some Crystal Palace players actually in Henry's class.
Crystal Palace players in Henry's class. Yeah. Well, they wouldn't get back a few years.
Wouldn't surprise me, to be honest with you, from what I've seen.
Oh dear. Anyway, act big, must you?
I can't be doing this for 4 years. Janet Yellen appointed 78th Treasury Secretary in the United States, the first woman to hold that job. I think only the second person to have been Fed Chair and Treasury Secretary. Market sentiment around her appointment is positive. I think she's very much seen as a safe and experienced pair of hands. She's been advocating the need for additional stimulus, maintained that message when she delivered testimony to the Senate Finance Committee, saying the US must act bid to revive the economy. She pushed back against fears the administration would seek to aggressively hike corporate taxes, but did indicate the need for federal debt to be put onto a sustainable path, but only went as far as saying eventually. I think most comforting for markets is she's expected to find much greater levels of coordination between the Fed and the Treasury, something, of course, we didn't see under the last administration.
Yeah, she's got a job on her hands, so especially trying to get this $1.9 trillion stimulus package through, because a lot of Republicans are digging their heels in.
Yeah, they're looking at the bill and they're looking where that money's going, particularly to local and state governments, and particularly increasing checks to households and, of course, further unemployment benefits. And they're the areas that Republicans have been concerned about. So for big pieces of legislation, it's not simply enough to have the casting vote by the vice president. The truth is they'll need broader support. And we've spoken about this idea. You may talk about this blue wave, but the reality is the true whole power is really being held by, I think, the centrists in the United States on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, but what's the alternative? I mean, if you don't spend, it's going to result in millions of jobless and people losing their homes.
Very much so. And that's what Janet Yellen's talking about. And she spoke about what she learned as we went through the great financial crisis, about the need to act early and to act aggressively, something that they perhaps failed to do in to the extent that was required last time out, and says doesn't want to make that same mistake this time.
Well, you should get over there and come up with a good repayment plan for them, you know. So,
you look at debt has gone up dramatically, but the cost of servicing that debt with interest with very low rates of interest is actually not too bad. So at the moment, it certainly is sustainable. Certainly, plenty of room to push ahead with this aggressive plan.
And it's going to be a long time before interest rates are up to anything like they were sort of even the financial crisis.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll hear from the Federal Reserve tomorrow, but they're talking about keeping interest rates at close to zero through 2023. Elsewhere, no signs that you're going to see higher interest rates. The European Central Bank, of course, left rates at deposit rate at minus 0.5% last week. They're expected to keep rates at least at that level, I think, probably for the next 2 years. So very few signs that we'll be seeing higher interest rates anytime soon. Although if we start to see that inflation picking up, maybe that starts to put pressure on central banks to think about normalising policy. But again, normalisation will be at much lower rates than we were used to before the financial crisis, or certainly before the pandemic.
And UBS making the news today.
Yeah, UBS said it would buy back as much as 4 billion Swiss francs worth of shares over the course of the next 3 years, bolstering shareholder returns. So after income from managing clients' assets and investment banking helped to propel earnings, bank finished off the year strongly. Fourth quarter net income came in at $1.7 billion, helped by soaring stock markets, of course, which related to higher recurring revenue, driving a 22% gain in private banking. Conservative lending policy as well, setting aside only $66 million in the quarter to cover bad loans. That was much less than the markets were anticipating. Also started to see banks releasing some of these reserves that they've set aside. That was a key feature of the US banking reporting season, starting to see it a little bit in Europe. So some good news on the back of that. Trading activity, as we've seen elsewhere, very strong, up 21%. In terms of the outlook, it said seasonal factors in the first quarter will mean they'll see higher client activity. Lots of uncertainty around the pandemic, but they did say higher asset prices should have a positive effect on recurring income and its asset managing businesses.
And in the footballing world, another one bites the dust at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, it's a shame. I like Frank Lampard. I've met him a couple of times, I have to say, and he's a wonderful guy, and he's very open, and I've had some really interesting conversations with him. So I was sorry to see him go. He was a legend at Chelsea, of course, and you thought if anyone would be given more time, it would be someone like Frank Lampard. So I think it's somewhat of a shame there, to be honest with you. As I drove past the training ground yesterday, actually, there was lots of news cameras and blah, 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 so it was clear something was happening, and as we found out later in the day, that was the case.
Well, some managers are given more time, but that is not the way it works under Roman Abramovich, unfortunately.
No, and he did speak about his personal relationship with Frank Lampard, saying he respects him, club icon and all those types of things, but five games lost is five games lost, I suppose.
It's all about the Champions League, really, isn't it? So if you don't qualify for the Champions League, you lose a lot of revenue, but with no fans in the stadium at the moment, it's hard to see why he wasn't given more time.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. So how many? I was reading under the Abramovich era. Maybe this isn't a correct figure. They've paid £110 million, paying off managers' contracts in that time.
The average payoff is around £16 million. So
once you get a job, even though you've got a good chance of being sacked, it's not the worst deal in the world, is it?
No. Right, foreign exchanges, please.
I'm sure the headmaster will give you something similar. Pound against the dollar coming in just above 1.36. Euro dollar coming at 1.21. Going to get 1 euro 12 cents, or maybe you'll just get a Swatch watch and sent on your way.
You'll probably give me 16 million Italian lira. You can't even bank them anymore. Right, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Potts and Barclays. You better get down Robert Dyson and buy some hot water bottles.
See ya.